Right, so are you worried about the coronavirus? Like, do you think it's a serious threat? Like, are we actually gonna, is it gonna be the next flu pandemic, whatever it was years ago, and it wipes out millions of people?
I wouldn't say I'm worried about it. I'm definitely thinking about it. I'm aware of it. I'm considering it, but I'm not panicking about it.
Considering the flu, should I get it or not?
Well, but yeah. Well, considering in the sense that I have children. I have a young daughter. She's 11 weeks old, and she has some issues that we need to consider with anything sort of viral or chesty related. So, you know, I'm thinking about it in those terms. I also work with kids. And a lot of people. So, you know, I'm aware of it, but I'm not panicking.
Do you think that children are more likely to spread it to adults as opposed to going on the London Tube with adults because their immune is weak, so they're more likely to get it in the first place?
I wouldn't even claim to be an expert in these things to even be able to comment on that. I wouldn't say. I mean, I suppose kids being kids, they sort of a little bit more tactile. You know, they'll stick their fingers in their mouth and in their noses and they'll touch everything. That's just what kids do. But I know plenty of adults like that as well. So, you know.
So I actually think that humans won't be around in 2160. We'll be extinct. And I'll tell you some of the reasons why.
Okay.
Without flu jabs, we probably wouldn't be here anyway over time. So we'll have too much flu. The strains will be so high that our immunes will just be annihilated immediately. Not only that, but because how everything is all connected anyway, we're getting access to like flu from other countries that we wouldn't have ever known about going back in the day when we didn't have planes and boats and stuff like that. So the flu is going to end up taking over everything and everyone. Not only that, but antibiotics, for example, we're becoming used to it. Our body's used to antibiotics. So we're not going to respond to antibiotics to kill off a flu or disease or whatever. Everyone's becoming gay and lesbian, so we're not going to breed anymore. Water is flooding everywhere. It's becoming too hot over here and it's becoming too cold over here. It's becoming too wet over here. So it's going to cause so much imbalance everywhere that it's going to affect how humans are. For example, like, how are we going to get food and drink when everything's flooded and there's no petrol and there's no electricity? How are we going to access everything that's online now? If everyone's ill, then no one can really get close to these people. So how are they going to get access to like life-saving stuff? That's just three things, which is a massive issue to humanity as a race itself. We've got a bit of time, but when you think about it, how quickly the flu can wipe everyone out, how this fucks everyone, like weather, how we're all dependent on just like someone coming to rescue us. And like everyone's becoming, you know, gay and lesbian anymore. So we're not breeding as much as we used to. So you could say, oh, populations, we need to stop breeding. Yeah, if you look at it in terms of like statistics, maybe so. But in terms of reality, it's not going to really do anything. But if we do start to not breed as much, then that generation, which would normally produce, like, say, a million people, it will slowly start to reduce. And then when we are grandparents, our kids, they just want to be free and trans and fucking binary and stuff, that they won't produce. And then all of a sudden, it's just like there's no generation. There's just no generation. So we're doing a massive full circle where we've just been breeding like fucking monkeys, like shagging everything. And we're going around in a circle where everything's changing. And that's just like, on the not breeding side of things, as I said, the flu, like we don't realize how lucky we are. Like we say, like people say you shouldn't take the flu for whatever reason, but it's because of jabs that we've actually got this far. So we shouldn't knock jabs. Like I'm all for about immune. I don't take medicine and stuff. But when you understand the flu and how we've technically only survived because of the flu jabs, I am for flu. Anything man has created is a problem. I will find a solution naturally. But if nature has created a problem and man has found something like a flu jab, then I'm all for that.
I mean, I believe personally in our abilities as a species to adapt. I think there's been countless across the decade, across the hundreds of years, examples of how we've been able to continue to thrive and exist in the face of huge adversity. I think society is in a little bit, especially, you know, Western society is in a little bit of a messy state at the moment. And I think it's going to take something big to give us a massive kick up the arse to make change.
Yeah.
Is the current situation that? I don't think it is, but I think these, not this particular situation, but you know, these, when you see issues on the news, you know, so there's a huge event somewhere, it's a massive tragedy, how people come together, how communities form.
I love seeing that, even though it's like bad that they're saying Australian fire,
yeah, exactly,
or there's floods in Yorkshire. Mm. I love seeing humans come together. It just makes me feel good that we're just all fucking human, like, helped me, and I love that.
So it's in there. It's sort of interwoven into our DNA, into our very fibre, our very being, to be that collective unit when needed. I know that day-to-day some people can just be utter gits, but I think when, you know, when the shit hits the fan, so to speak, I think it's just hardwired into us to be that collective group, you know, to nominate a leader, a voice, they take charge. Off we go. We go and fix. We fix it all, then we break it all again. But, you know.
Why do you think that we're all striving for that connection and we look for that connection, but the connection's already there with our next door neighbour? Like, why are we all online trying to find all these new people for this connection, conversation, like now, when they can just knock next door and say, let's have a cup of tea? Like, we don't even speak to our neighbours next door until, like, we really need something. But, yeah, we're online trying to find people.
Yeah,
across the other side of the world. Like, why are we doing this?
Because it suits somebody somewhere for us to be like this.
So I think that, like anything, like even love, you seek out, but it was always there. Like, you're supposed to love yourself within, and then it will come to you. But we are seeking out, and we have to go within first. So not knocking on your next door neighbor for if they know a plumber, for example, and going straight to Facebook Marketplace, like trying to find a plumber. It's just like, you have to go close to home first. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can get incredibly deep with this, I guess, couldn't you?
Sure.
But, you know, with this whole social media thing, yes, it's convenient, which is why we all like it. It's popular, which is why we all think we should like it. But there's somebody or a group of people somewhere, without getting all sort of into conspiracy theories and stuff, but it suits somebody or some group of people somewhere for us all to be very much hooked on and dependent on social media. I mean, you buy one of these things these days and it's already pre-installed. It's like they want you to use it. Go and use it. You get your phone and there it is. It's already there. It's already telling you, connect to Facebook. Oh, and then give me your contacts too, so we can add them to Facebook. And it's, and obviously the other things, you got Twitter and Instagram, and it's growing all the time. And, you know, I'm not going to claim that I don't use it, because that's how I spoke to you.
Exactly. I'm going to take it. Yeah.
If you're using it for the right reasons, then it's good. But I don't know. I mean, are we becoming, what would happen tomorrow if social media disappeared?
It would change everything. It would change every business. It would change every person. And we wouldn't know. We would probably start speaking to the voice in our head and become possessed. Some of us will end up finding the light, finding Jesus, without realizing he was always here. Eventually you just become so bored in your house. You just go out for a walk and you'll meet John just playing football on the path. And you just start playing football, and then you'll connect that way.
I remember the days before social media, and it wasn't a bad place.
I lived outdoors. Every second I was indoors, I wanted to be out, and I was going down the park, meeting people, playing football. Just, I never wanted to be home, because it was always about, it wasn't even whether we were playing football or not. We were just out and speaking and talking nonsense. So, we're all becoming autistic as well. Autistic meaning, what does an autistic person do? They're in their head. They can't socialize. They've not got any confidence. They're smart because it's in their head, but they can't, you look on the tube these days when I'm in London, everyone's going to become the autistic mindset of not being able to even look anybody in the eye like an autistic person can't do. And that is where it's all kind of going as well, becoming the mindset of an autistic person.
Could you imagine if they actually created a day where they switched off social media? They just switched it off, like a national day of no social media, and they just press a button and it all goes off, and everyone's forced to go outside and, you know, see things and do things. And
if they did, the stock markets would plummet. Literally would plummet. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves. They'd just lose half their revenue just like that. They'd be praying to God that, you know, somebody turns it back on. But
all right. Well, where does it go next then? What's the next stage for social media, or will it become something completely different? How will we be connected? Because at the minute we're connected through mobile devices, which are becoming less about, that's the irony of these. These are becoming less about phone calls and more about everything else. Whereas they were originally devised to have communication with people through speaking to them. Whereas now it's this.
So everything will be on a digital platform that can be controlled by big companies for the purpose of profit, right? To the point where if you don't use your phone, nothing else will work. Lights won't work, TV won't work, you can't speak to your friends. You will basically be a monk in a forest, but in the middle of Yorkshire or the middle of London. If you don't go on your phone to text your mate who sat next to you, you won't be speaking to anyone, because they'll always be speaking to their mate on their phone who sat next to them. So you now have a choice. Do I fit into this pattern, or do I become so isolated in terms of living the monk lifestyle where there's just you, trees and a few ants and a banana? Yeah, because the alternative is every single thing is on this device and everything is going that way. And what will happen is it will go down that way where everything is on our phone, that we're like, rather than working at a computer, or it will be like we're working on a phone 24/7. So like it's work and then home. It will be work, phone, home, phone, to the point where the human brain will just become so, it'd be like a big bang in the sky. Too much energy will come together. There'll be an explosion. Humans will just get so much anger that they can't, their fucking app freezes or the Wi-Fi is connected or the person dumped her, and they'll literally throw the phone against the wall. Okay. They will realize, I've not got enough money to go buy a new phone. I've not got insurance, to the point where they will just be so angry that they just will surrender themselves, and they won't be like angry about how they can't get a phone for a few weeks, because they would have reached this like limit of anger inside them. They don't care anymore. Yeah, the phone's fucked. I don't care anymore. And then that period of time when they've not got a phone will be the period of time where they would have, for the first time, not used their phone for even a day, right? It will probably be a month until they can save up a fucking grand for a phone, yeah? But they will have not used their phone for a few days, which they've never done before, that it'll feel so good and so freeing, and they'll feel so happy that they won't want to go on the phone. And then eventually everyone will start doing the same thing. Everyone will eventually come off their phones, okay? Businesses will start to go down. Humans will start to interact again, because everything comes back around, like the stock market, all comes back around, the weather. And then that's where the society resets again. It's almost like a wildfire, burns all the trees down, and then all that mush creates new sprouts and new trees. And that is what will happen.
It's interesting.
We will end up becoming starved of our own fruit and just want...
But do you not feel that there's the possibility that they'll stop being this disconnected from us physical thing that we can put down? Because they're gonna have to go somewhere else. They're not. I mean, obviously we started with computers and laptops, and then eventually it's gone into here. But is it not going to go from here into here into here? You know, are they going to start? Is it, you know, I know it's a scary route to go down, but, you know, it's even in my watch now, you know, is it going to start getting even smaller? Are we going to be wearing it in jewelry? Is it going to be implanted? Is it?
So all these big phones will start to flip, and they'll fold into like a Rubik's cube where you can fold once, fold twice, and then you can hang it on your necklace, right? So you've got a little phone like this. It all unfolds to the point where there's no limit to how big it unfolds. Because imagine if it's really thin and it all just keeps folding, it can keep folding like a tripod. All the legs go into one leg. So that will happen where it like will fold. It can unfold. I said to my friend the other day, these smartphones will become a TV, because imagine you can unfold it to whatever size it is, and then the resolution of your face is based on how many like squares I've opened it up to. Well, if I keep opening it up, I can hang it on the wall. I can be in my friend's house and just put up my LCD TV on the wall. Netflix is already on it. And it will sort of adjust to the resolution of how many squares open it is. And that can be, that could be a little block, which will hang here. It could be flat. It can go in your pocket. It could be long, so it can go in your van. It can be like, you know, Tetris, where you can do that, or you can do that, or you can do that. But yeah, eventually we'll have like, for example, chips in our ear that's automatically connected to the phone, where we don't need like earphones or Bluetooth or whatever. It's just a chip which picks up the signals, which is sound, like how we hear anyway. But it'll just be like planted in our ear, like a dog getting chipped, but it'll be in our ear. The same with like, for example, contact lenses. We see out contact lenses, but the contact lens will be like the screen on a phone. So, you know, when you look through like your 3D goggles, or you got your AR goggles, whatever. Well, it'll be like a pair of glasses, but rather than glasses, it will be contact lenses. So that lens will be digital, and it will be on our eye, and we can see everything on our phone. Like the Matrix years ago, you're looking out, but you've got like, this is Dave, he's from Thailand, he's this height, he's this tall, he's wanted for a murder in China. This is a noodle, you know, like AR. You'll be like, this is a noodle, this is a chair. Do you want to buy it on Amazon? And you can focus on the thing, and it'll go to Amazon, literally just like the Matrix. That is where it will go. Almost like a Telsa. You're driving on the road, but the sat-nav is in the screen. So rather than looking there saying turn left, you'll see like this, your normal screen, but it's like a digital thing where you can see where to go, or there's an accident ahead, or there's a pub here. That is where it will go. I don't even know if Tesla do it. Maybe I just made that up, but yeah.
Probably. But it, yeah, wow. You say, you mentioned the Matrix. What if we're already in there though?
So again, like everything that man has, everything that exists is because of man. And the Matrix film is based on man. It was just a man 50 years ago. So everything, the Matrix concept of you're living in your own reality, well, that's just humans evolving and creating and manifesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is the Matrix, but not how people think. It's like, Matrix is a film based on somebody thinking about the future, which is now.
It's crazy though, when you think about consciousness and how it is, it's like I'm living in my own reality. And what if this is all in my head and none of it exists? It's just, if you think about it too much, sometimes it can seriously make your brain hurt. Like consciousness and what it is and how it works and how are we interacting? Are we interacting? Is this real? Is it not real? Does it exist?
Again, when people say that, it's like, just live your life, be happy. Don't complicate something like chicken or the egg. Who made the chicken or the egg? Who gives a fuck what was made first, okay? It's just like, go to the pub with your mates. Like, stuff like that, there's never-ending questions. It's like, because it's created by a question, there's always going to be another question. So there's no answer. So people say that. I can understand it, but it's like, the more you think about it, there's always going to be what if. And just, you'll end up being possessed. Like, spend fucking an hour in your head working out that shit. You're like, fuck, what have I just done? And my neurons are just been firing up. It's like, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here.
Deep thinking Monday, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Not enough sleep and too much coffee.
Yeah, like, do you wake up naturally or do you set an alarm?
I'm one of those people where if I've got something important happening, if I set an alarm, I'll wake up a few minutes before the alarm. I've always done that. But I'm not somebody that needs a lot of sleep. I never have been, really.
So like these days, you know, they say we need 8 hours sleep, right? And if you go back to part of the world which is 18 degrees, which is the optimum temperature for anything to live, you get 8 hours of darkness. So naturally the animals will go to bed when it's dark, and then they wake up when it's light, 8 hours. But because our brains are constantly active, we actually need more now. So this 8 hour thing is nonsense. We actually need like 9, because we're using our brains so much for so long that we need more. Like, I've noticed that when I'm doing podcasts and I'm speaking, I wake up 9 9 hours later naturally. When I'm not doing anything, 7 hours, I wake up naturally. So again, it's deteriorating the human brain. Like sleep is, it's like internet. Sleep is the reason why we can do what we do. Internet is the reason why everything works the way it is. And we take it for granted. Like if there was a massive like electrical interference somehow, it could wipe out everything and then like nothing works. Like I say, if the poles reversed, then technology dies.
that one comes up every so often, doesn't it? Every now and again, that'll be on Facebook. Somebody will say, oh, this is going to happen on this date. And then we all sit and wait and then nothing happens. And then we all go back to doing what we were doing before.
Yeah, it's all about people wanting to be right so badly. So they say it now and then they want it to happen. And then when it happens, they say, I told you. But then the other 50% you forget about because they're keeping quiet because they were wrong. So it's just about people wanting to be right. I used to be like that until I realized, like always wanted to say what was going to happen so I could say, told you. And no one gives a shit. You're trying to convince someone who doesn't care. It's wasting your time.
Yes, especially if that thing you're so convinced is going to happen is a really bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, it'll be like, see, I told you we're going to get a flu pandemic and everyone's going to die. I told you. Yeah, but you lost your nan. Yeah, you're right, actually. I shouldn't be really boasting about this.
Oh, Jesus. Funny. Well, not funny, but...
It is funny. You've got to laugh at everything.
You've got to laugh.
Everything that's negative will just end up destroying your soul. Do you particularly watch any news?
I like to keep up to date on what's happening. I try not to...
Like a wildfire in Peru.
Yeah. I try not to take it at face value, though. I do feel that the news isn't necessarily a reflection of what's really happening. It's the version of events that they want us to know or think. So I will tend to go out and find information from various sources rather than just watching the BBC News or ITV News. I just think that that's a dangerous place to be, is to believe the information that we're fed from one source. I just think... that's just bad. I think you should seek out information from multiple places.
Like every how we feel is a feeling, yeah? And so we have to do things that match that feeling. So the more we watch the news, the more negative we become, the more we need that feeling of negative energy. Now, it's not that it's right or wrong. It's just that that's what your body's used to. So you keep watching the news to give that negative feeling back to the point where you're down your pub with your friends having fun, which you do once a week, but... 6 times out of that week, you're watching the news. So that negative feeling is going to dominate your body to the point where you literally are coming home to watch the news and you're not with your friends down the pub because that feeling is so foreign to your body of being happy versus this negative suppression of everything's fucking disastrous that you seek that feeling. And that's that science, which like no one knows. It's not like the news are trying to purposely do this. It is that supply and demand. If people want to watch the news, you supply it. But they've not understood the science point of view, which is... what you focus on, how you feel, becomes like your body's default feeling. And you just focus more on this toxic bullshit on the news to the point where you get disease and you die.
Interesting. I mean, I don't know necessarily that being aware of what's happening in the world is always negative. I guess it's subjective. It's how you perceive it. If I know that there's a famine in Africa or a bushfire in Australia, they are negative events, but how I process that and choose to act on it doesn't have to necessarily be negative. I could choose to do a charitable event in a positive way to help those people that are affected. So it's all about balance, isn't it? And how you process that information. I think, if you go in and sit down every night purposely just to be really sad about everything, then you're going to feel that way, aren't you?
So you think that as long as you are making a charity event for the wildfire, for example, that it's okay to watch the news and feel shit because you're counteracting it?
Well, no, I'm not. I think it depends on how you go into it yourself. I mean, the reality is that the world, well, that's the reality. That's subjective as well, isn't it? But the world is a hard place. Life can be a hard place. But we can choose to be negative about that or go and look for the positive. And I like to know what's happening in the world, especially in a world where, you know, in 10 years' time, my children are going to be adults interacting in that environment. So I like to know what's happening, you know, what potentially might be happening further down the line, that sort of thing.
Do you think that everything media-based is going to become independent and private? For example, like what we're doing now, okay, rather than it being in a massive studio in London with a £50,000 camera, it'll just be you in your little studio in your bedroom with an iPhone camera. It'll be the same thing, but you won't rely on TV companies to give you the gig. It'll just be on your own website.
I think that is becoming part of the bigger picture, but there are global corporations and people out there that will not allow that to happen. They would rather pull the internet and go back to printing papers than allow that to happen.
In terms of our country, for example, you're saying about other countries, like they'll just ban it completely.
Oh, even here. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, and the stats are probably available online, but what percentage of people still pay a TV license? Because we're told we have to. Or we feel something bad will happen if we don't. And that's fed straight back into the BBC corporation, which are then they're able to use it however they want to use it. And obviously part of that is being used to create multiple news channels and tell us the news they want us to tell us. I'm not saying it's some massive conspiracy or anything, but it's happening.
So, for example, if this was live streamed, right, and throughout the year, the viewers watching live right now become, say, 10 to 1,000 to 10,000 to 100,000 to eventually 1 million, for example, like a Channel 4 show.
Yeah.
And we're making money through advertising, just like the TV programs do.
Yeah.
Do you think that somehow someone will come along and shut it down somehow if it's being on my website, for example?
Somehow. If it got to a point where it was genuinely becoming a concern for those people involved that are making a lot of money or have a lot of control or power, they would find a way to shut it down. They would find a rule, a loophole that creates some sort of clause, something that would shut it down. Absolutely.
So the only way it'd be shut down is Namecheap, who'd host my The Name, for example, would not let me use it. Okay, I'll go to GoDaddy, whatever. So all those would have to block me. Right. And then the hosting server like Weebly or whatever would also have to block me. So then I'd have to go from straight HTML to like the web, however that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then it's like, who controls the web? At that point, it's like, OK, who does control the web? Can you shut down the web to shut down me, for example? Do you reckon that is possible?
Absolutely. I mean, you've only got to look at places like China, for example, and the restrictions that they have on their internet and the media that can go out. North Korea. It's completely doable.
So you can shut down the Wi-Fi and the 3G. Go to GIFGAF, block them, and go to block them.
It's not so much. It obviously, you know, we've got our handsets or our mobile devices that can output the signal, but there's got to be some way of it that then getting to somebody else. And if those channels are blocked, you know, it'd be like if you had a megaphone and somebody pulling the batteries out. You've still got the megaphone, but there's no batteries to power it, so there's no sound getting out. You can upload your video, but if it's not getting pushed out to anybody, like, for example, on my Facebook last year for my podcast, ironically, some nice individual decided to report one of my posts as spam that wasn't actually spam. And Facebook restricted my account for 3 months. And part of what happened with those restrictions was they switched off my reach. So every time I put a post out, nobody saw it unless they clicked on my profile like that.
So that's the thing. With depending on these people, where, as you said, they can make a clause just for the sake of why the fuck not. They can literally just do it because it's like when you sign up to like Siri, when you set up a new phone, iPhone, it says, do you allow dictation to improve your dictation? Yes. But if you read in the clause, it says we also might listen to send adverts to Google and Amazon to benefit your browsing choices, aka we'll take your data. And then if you don't agree to that, you can't use it. We're becoming dependent on everything Facebook and Google, that you have to sacrifice something to gain the other. They'll find a clause where somehow, somewhere, if you do this, but it all comes down to like somebody trying to influence the control. Like,
yeah, absolutely. It's like, I don't know the names of the recent, the copyrights clauses and acts that they're trying to put through at the moment, legislation to make it illegal to download different content from the internet. Oh, I can't remember what it was. There was a big thing on the in the news, ironically, about it last year. They're always going to, if people are making money through something and people higher up aren't getting a part of that, they'll do something to change it so that they do get part of it. That's just the way it is.
So do you think that's more about power or just a business model, aka a businessman's model is to make as much money as possible through for supply and demand, and it doesn't matter who's creating the supply and demand. If there's an opportunity to make profit, they will. Or
absolutely.
Is it literally about power and having control over people?
Those just go hand in hand.
Yeah,
you can't separate having power and making money. They're too interwoven. Somebody somewhere is always making money out of every situation. You know, we may perceive it to be good or bad. For example, one of the most divisive situations this country has faced for as long as I can remember is Brexit. If we've left, and there will be people now making money as a result, and there are people losing their businesses. And if it had been the other way around, the exact same thing would have happened. There is always somebody in place with ready, and then there are those people above that will be making money either way. So
is that just about versatility and adaption? Like when the wolf is watching the deer. Okay, as soon as as soon as the lion looks away, or the wolf looks away, then the deer runs. Is that just like life, like adapting to its environment?
I think some people are just better suited to being able to adapt in that way. I think some people are better able to choose to adapt as well. I think some people, whether they realize it or not, they're making the conscious or unconscious decision to not adapt. They're just so stubborn that they will not. I think this and I will not change. Even if it's at the detriment to their, you know, financial stability, their friendship circles, they will just refuse to adapt, refuse to change, because that's just in their nature to be like that.
Do you think stubbornness is like you can change stubbornness, or is it inbred so far since like parents are modeling them and your childhood that you can't change?
No, we're all given the choice to change.
We're given the choice, but in terms of actually changing, is it possible?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have all of these, shall we say, automatic responses in us that are maybe predetermined, but at some point there is a thought process. There is a yes or no. If you simplify it, do I do it? Don't I do it? Do I do it? Don't I do it? And we're presented with it and we have the choice. It's whether we choose to or not. You know, I was real simple, like the simplified example of this. 2 years ago, I was teaching a class and somebody made the comment that it would be impossible to give up coffee. So caffeine based drinks, sugary drinks, chocolate, sugar, sweets, or everything all in one go. And I said, yes, yeah, you can. Absolutely, you can. And like, oh, no, it's impossible. You can't because of this, this, and I said, absolutely, you can. And so I did, just to prove a point, because that's what I'm like. And for several days, I felt like hell, absolute hell. But after that 2 or 3 day period, I actually felt better.
Yeah.
And I realized I felt better. But do you know what? I'm drinking coffee again because I made the choice. I was given the choice to not do that. And I already knew the benefits of not doing it, but I chose to start drinking coffee again.
See, isn't that amazing how...
I'll stop drinking coffee again as well if I want to.
Isn't amazing how we don't even realize what the things we're putting in us is how it's making us feel, because we're so used to feeling a certain way that just becomes the norm. And like you said, I did the same. I removed sugar and salt and carbs just because I was going with the feeling of what made me feel better, not because I'm for diet or reasons or whatever. But the more I removed certain foods, the better I felt, to the point where every time I ate those foods again, I felt like shit.
Yeah.
So we're all feeling so shit all the time. We don't even realize like what it's like to feel good.
Yeah. But it's, again, this comes back around to what we were saying before, is that Is that by design? Are we now, the difference between I'm choosing to drink coffee, nobody's making me drink it. But the foods that we buy, the processed foods that we buy, the genetically modified vegetables that we buy, you know, somebody's making that choice for us. Is that for a reason other than profit?
Anything has to be regulated, and depending on the laws of the regulation means that they can get away with whatever they can. So, for example, if you can get away with putting, say, opioid in crisps because it's legally possible,
yes,
even though it's not morally right, then in terms of profit, then yes, I believe that they will try and do that, okay, yeah. Because it's based on profit.
Yeah.
It comes down to, again, how do we expand the business? How do we get more customers? What can we put in legally to get people to enjoy it and come back? And yeah. It's all part of, yeah, if you like chicken flavor, we'll put chicken flavorings in. But if MSG is legal and we know it's addictive and it increases the profits by, say, fucking 75,000 or whatever, then you're going to do it until it becomes illegal. So, it's not like one person saying we're trying to control humans, put this in, put this in, that in. It's not that, but that does exist, of course. But it's not like everyone's in the Illuminati who's got money. There's some people who are clearly not, some people who think they are, but it doesn't exist, and some people who actually think they are. It's not like, so yeah, there will be, for example, some fast food chicken shops on the high street, which John's just set up, and he's probably injecting his chicken with whatever because it means his customers come back. But that's because he's getting away with it. So yeah, it is happening, but really, it just comes down to how can we get more money through sales. And if this is getting more sales, then customers are happy, businesses are happy. And until someone's complaining, then get away with it.
Yeah, if you look at any news agents, supermarket shelves 10 years ago, when you go to the drinks counter, you'd have your Coca-Colas and your Fantas and your Lilts and whatever else and your water. And now, 2/3 of it's taken up with energy drinks.
Literally.
You know, of every shape, size, flavor, you know, it's just all, everything. You go in and it's just there. And it's, and then you're actually having to search, where's the water?
Coke. Where's the goddamn Coke?
Where's the Coke? Oh, the Coke's down there. Oh, and they've put like massive, you look at the bottle and it's tiny and it's like £1.50. And then you look at the energy drink and that's 90p. And you're like, okay, I'm going to get that one.
And you're like, fucking 20p for a Freddo. It was 10p like 50 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, we're being pushed in that direction now. There's really, you know, the back of those energy drinks, when you look at them, the listing, it's like there's more in them than like a shampoo bottle list. It's crazy the amount of stuff that's in
there. And it's literally all man-made, which is obviously worse than nature. You look in Coke, for example, you've got like citrus, lemon, syrup. Yeah, these are kind of like natural ingredients. When they say it's like 30 teaspoons of sugar, it's not 30 teaspoons of what you would call sugar that you put in your tea. It's not that. It's you know, got the fructose, gluctose, all the coses, right? Yeah. Different forms of starchy whatever. If you were to equivalent that to a form of sugar, then yes, it'll be 30 teaspoons, but it's not like 30 like casting sugar. But yeah, until there's laws, for example, on like energy drinks and stuff, companies like anything will see a market and they'll do it. It's like cryptocurrency. One does it and then they all do it. Open up a chicken shop, there's more chicken shops. If you can get way of selling Red Bull, do it. Like anything, if everyone can be doing this in their room until BBC or government say you can't be doing that, people get away with what they can until they can't.
Yeah, and then now they've got, you know, huge names endorsing it as well. The thing that gets me as well is you've got athletes, professional athletes, endorsing energy drinks. And it just doesn't seem to make any sense. But
so in life, it's one before two. No, to one before two if one's okay. If one isn't okay, hang on a sec. It's two before one if one's okay. I can serve you if I'm okay. But if I'm not okay, it becomes me first. So he is getting, like, say, paid $100,000 to drink a Red Bull. Anyone would do that unless they're already rich enough that they don't need to do that. And it's just the way it is. Until he's got enough money, for example, everyone's going to do it because we're trying to survive. Everything's very expensive. You've got to make money where you can. And, again, it's one before two. If one, you know,
Yeah.
You can understand. Like, I'd do it. I'm sure you'd do it. 100 grand just to, you know, yeah, you know it's wrong and you wouldn't want your kids to drink it, but the kids won't be here if you've not got any money to pay for the bills. So it all comes down to one, two before one, unless one is not good. Unless one isn't okay.
I'll go and look that up later. I've not heard that one before. That saying, yeah. I'm going to go and look that up.
No, I made it up.
Oh, right, did you? Oh, get that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, so it's like...
Get it on a T-shirt.
it's two before one if one's okay. If one isn't okay, two doesn't exist because it then becomes about me and my survival.
Well, I like it.
It's like if like animals around a carcass, if there's a load of meat, then I'm not going to fight you for it. You can have a munch over there. But if there's all of a sudden like 600 animals and there's only enough food for, say, 500, it becomes dog eat dog. I did like you, but now it becomes about you or me because if I don't have a meal, I'm going to die. So I'll fight you for it.
Like it. Getting messages coming through on my phone. How's the irony of it?
Do you do podcasts in person or actually or just online?
Both.
What do you see, where do you see it going in terms of the future of podcasting?
Ooh, wow. Where's it going to go? I mean, obviously there's a boom at the moment. There's a massive boom because the technology is becoming more accessible. It's easy for people to do. And there's almost like a copycat syndrome as well. Like, oh, they're doing it, so I'll do it. You know, and mine's been going now for nearly 2 years. So I'm sort of out of that new stage. But where's it going to go? I don't know where it's going to go. There's something for everybody now. And that's the cool thing about it. You know, I personally prefer listening to either podcasts or talk radio in the car. I don't really listen to music in the car too much. And of the music that I do listen to, it's all my own playlists that I create rather than actually listening to what somebody else is choosing to push out my speakers. So
what platforms do you use to put your podcasts on, like Anchor or Libsyn?
Do you know what? I am super old-fashioned and I upload through SoundCloud and then push it out to everything else from there.
So like social media?
Yeah, it works for me. I mean, and the majority of our listeners go through sort of Spotify and iTunes, but I just get it out and then it, you know, does the rest for me.
Do you monetize at the moment?
Only in the sense that we have sponsors. So we've got sponsors on there, but there's nothing else going on now. I do it as a serious hobby. I'm not sort of doing it for any other reason.
What do you like? Do you listen to Joe Rogan?
Not all the time, but you know, every so often I will turn it on and I'll listen to it. And yeah,
what do you like about Joe Rogan as opposed to Tom Bilyeu? Do you know who Tom Bilyeu is?
And I'm aware of him. I don't listen to a lot of the stuff.
So rather than like an interview type relationship where he's asking the questions, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Joe just talks. What do you like about Joe as opposed to other podcasters that you watch?
Well? He's a very straight talker, isn't he? It won't skirt around the question or the topic. He'll go in for the topic. Like just say it, talk about it. And I like that rawness, that honesty of it. Because that it allows you to learn a little bit more about the person as opposed to the projection that they're putting out of who they are. I like that. The connection's there. It feels like you're listening to a conversation. No, it doesn't feel like listening to somebody's conversation. It kind of feels like you're there in the conversation as opposed to listening to a list of interview questions.
Yeah, everything's so scripted. This is one of the reasons why I don't want to edit anything because no one sees raw, genuine, authentic human material. Like nobody hears what humans are like when they're at home or down the pub because no one's speaking for any longer than 10 minutes. Or when like the postman comes to the door, you become this different person.
Yeah.
And like nothing. And we realize we're all the same. We all speak the same. We all want the same. Yeah. But yet there's no like, it doesn't exist. Like it's just all fake and fitted to what you people think people want to see. And actually we all seek the same thing, which is just genuine,
yeah,
human authenticity.
Yeah, and it's becoming more difficult as well, because there's a lot more expectation for us to all live a perfect life now, and we project this perfect life on our Instagram accounts and on our Facebook accounts. We don't have to, obviously, but a lot of people do, you know. And you'll see these happy smiley faces on Facebook, and in reality, they're curled up in a ball in the corner of their room, you know. And 2 minutes before, they've done a happy smiley, you know, selfie with their cat, and then they've put their phone down and they're in the corner of the room crying to themselves. You know, it's
obviously like it's up to parents to nurture children, right? But then obviously society dictates half of what the parents are trying to do. So for example, social media, if the person can use it at say 13, would you allow your kids to use it at 13 because the app allows you to, or would you wait until they're 18, or is that too far? Can they be 16? Or do you talk to them about,
yeah,
like educate them, like this is right, this is wrong? I'm not going to say don't do it because you're going to do it anyway, but
how
do you think that it's going to happen? Because these days kids are on everything, and it's just like,
yeah, I think it's down to the parent to have that conversation with their kids and
so educate, be the not best control.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, really. I mean, my eldest son is 11, so he's at that age now where he's very inquisitive and he wants to know and he wants to go and find out things. And I remember being 11 and the things that I did. So I know what he's, well, I don't know for sure, but I have an idea of, you know, what level of inquisitiveness he's going to have. So he's going to want to go out and find things. And if his friends are doing things, then he's going to go and do what they're doing, you know, the same as I did. So I think that, with this knowledge is power to a point, you know, I don't want to say, no, don't use social media, it's bad, because then he'll go and use it. So if I can teach him the pitfalls of using it and what to avoid and what to look for and be careful, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, there's a park across the road and there's a very dangerous main road in between the park. Do I not allow him to go and play in the park because of the dangerous road? Or do I teach him how to correctly and safely cross the road?
Yeah, like on, I go for dog walks, for example, down the park, there's like say 10, 11 year olds just playing football. The mouth on them, that what they're saying, they're talking about sex, swearing, they're like, it's like I can't even believe what I'm hearing. And then their parents come along and then you see the side that they're only the parents see. Yeah. And it's like anything in life, it has an other life that you don't know about. We did, our grandparents did, but it's fascinating to see this image around the parents under their control. And when they're not there, what actually happens? And it's quite fascinating to see that parents really have no idea what they don't see that side, unless you have a spy camera, you don't see that side. And if they did, they would be shocked, but it's part of life. That is fascinating because you realize that all we can really do is just give knowledge, because people are going to do what they're going to do anyway, and you can't stop anyone. You can only educate, and you can't really make them listen or not. All you can really do is educate.
It's an interesting one, and that's been, with society in my opinion, that's been something that's been progressive over a long period of time, over say 20, 25 years, how things have slowly changed. I when I see the way some kids behave now, I wouldn't do that out of fear of somebody finding out, whereas now they just genuinely don't seem to care if somebody finds out. That isn't even in their head. I won't behave like this because I don't care if somebody finds out, because they won't do anything. So
yeah, so like discipline of how it used to be in our parents' days, for example, where you would like respect and not do it. Now everything is influenced by everyone else. Now you give up because it's easier to surrender, because all their parents are surrendering and you don't want to be the strict parent. And so now you surrender to the pressure of society, which is based on society years ago. And it's like a followed pattern where you give up disciplining because everyone's weak anyway. And it's easier to just not give a fuck, because shouting and disciplining all the time is stressful. People just give up. And like once the dog knows that you're not going to tell him off when he leaves the wet paws mat, he's just going to sneak off and go on the bed. And if you don't say go back to that mat, he knows that you're not going to do anything, and he's just going to keep lying then until you just give up and don't say anything. And it's like, well, he's not giving up, but he's not doing that because he's trying to be a prick. He's doing that because you're not saying he has to, like he doesn't feel the discipline. And it's up to the discipliner or the teacher or the parent. And this is why so many teachers at school are teaching at school must be horrendous now, because it was horrendous when I was at school, but there was some form of respect. But I just feel for the human side of a teacher who generally wants to teach and nobody wants to be taught.
It's learned behavior as well. I mean, we see it now with social media again, which it always keeps coming back to. But something will happen. Timmy's at school and Billy punches Jimmy in the face, and then the parents go in, and then one of the parents is shouting at the teacher, and so then the teacher's stressed, and then the parents shouting at the head teacher, and then they're all shouting about it on Facebook. And then there's petitions, and then they're outside with the placards.
Fucking bollocks, yeah.
And all that. And, you know, I remember going home with my report card things, worrying about what the teacher was going to have said in that report, so that when my parents read it, because they would have been so annoyed if it was bad. But now, if you take the report card home, and the parents read it, and the teachers dare to write something bad, they're straight in the school.
You blame the teacher.
They're straight in the school going, how have you written this about my Timmy? He's da, 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 da. And then they photograph it and put it on Facebook, and everyone's going, oh, your little Timmy's perfect. How dare that teacher say those things? Da, 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 da. And it's just become so like that. I could not work in a school. I couldn't. I mean, I teach kids, but I'm in the fortunate position of, they come into my school and my rules are set out. And if they don't like my rules, they leave. And it's as simple as that. If they don't like it, they leave. And if they don't follow them, they leave, because we remove them. And some people, they just don't have that. They just have no concept of that as a thing. You know, they don't know how to work. It's like, we will have a rule, don't do this. And then they don't follow that rule. And then I say, okay, leave, please. And they're like, whoa. What's this? It's like, yeah, that's how it works. You know, it's there for a reason. If there's no consequence for you not following that rule, then everybody else will not follow that rule. So it's very simple. But society, it just doesn't seem to, it just doesn't seem to function like that anymore, which is sad. Oh, yeah.
One of the other factors of why we'll be extinct by 21.
It's come back around again.
2012 is because governments will lose control of people because there'll be too many of them. Well, there'll be civil wars in every place, like Texas, fucking Yorkshire, fighting with Yorkshiremen over my land. Governments won't be able to keep up with the management and control of humanity. Well, there'll be so many civil wars and deaths that population will just reduce by half or whatever. And then it will just start again. You go up in history. One tribe becomes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you meet another tribe, and then you fight, and then you're back to just one tribe. Apart from now, it's like millions in the tribe fighting with other countries. But rather than like global fights, it'll be like civil fights, civil wars of, like, as I said, just local people arguing over stuff. Like, my fence was disapproved by the council, and you could put your fence up, and then everyone else would get involved, and civil wars. Local civil wars, just because policing, like, think about how many Yorkshire police are there, probably not even 200, and how many people are there? I don't know, like 30,000, I don't know. But there's going to become a point where police can't manage and put themselves at risk, or we just have to fight ourselves. It's like, at what point do you leave the Australian wildfire because you actually might die yourself?
We're already getting to that point, aren't we, though? I mean, you look at how many sort of vigilante Facebook groups are actually in existence now. They're so many.
Like, you go in America, there's like one for everything. Like,
yeah. And I mean, I don't actually remember. I don't remember the last time I saw a police officer in my town. I'm actually having to remember, think now, when did I last see one? I don't remember. You see the cars driving through, but I don't actually remember seeing one physically walking around or interacting with anybody. But I can tell you the last time I saw a smashed window or a smashed bus stop or which local shop was targeted or the kids that were throwing the eggs at the window. I can tell you all of those because social media tells me. But they just aren't the police. And to be fair, it shouldn't really be for them to go around mopping up the mess that society's created. We should be kind of doing that ourselves.
Yeah, like we forget that even though we have a government to do things, like why can't you just pick up that litter? Why can't you, like there's certain things that we can do ourselves that actually would make us a lot happy, because then the community can start doing stuff. But like police, for example, like us, we're human. They're in their police car. It's nice and warm on their phone playing Angry Birds. And when they get a serious call, like a stabbing, then they'll act. Whereas years ago, it'd be they're walking the streets, speaking to Norris. How's your day, John? I can't get to the top of my cupboard. Yeah, we'll get that down for you. And then you see police and then there's less crime. But yeah, it's like we're all part of the same. We're all part of the same problem of.
Yeah. Everybody waits for somebody else to take care of it. There was an incident years ago, just around the corner from my house, somebody had smashed a phone box when they still existed. And so the safety glass was just everywhere all over the path. And it was the main walking route for a primary school. So the kids are inquisitive. They see the shiny glass, they pick it up, they cut themselves. And I was driving past and I could see this glass was everywhere. So I went home, I got a brush, I went round and I swept it up. And yeah. I'm not even joking. The shopkeepers in the shops opposite the but they came to the door and watched me.
Why are you
me.
Doing that? Let the council do it.
They literally came and watched me sweeping up the glass with a cup of coffee and didn't even say anything. It's like,
I'm thinking, what a weirdo. Why is he doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Leave it for somebody else. It's always somebody else's job.
Yeah.
And I think some of that as well is brought on not just from laziness and expecting somebody else to sort it, but also from fear of if I do it, should I do it? And if I do it, will I get in trouble?
Yeah, or will I be judged? We're so scared of like the neighbor watching and then like sorts it like, oh, look, what? Like we're so scared of like people judging what we're doing that we'd rather not do it. It's like when I see litter, I hear my dad in my mind saying, pick up the litter, just because that's what he would do. But then you don't want to be seen picking up the litter because it's like, why is he doing that? Or you do feel like this unknown pressure of like God looking down or whatever. Mm. So yeah, but once you grasp that feeling of, yes, they might be thinking, oh, that's a nice person, or why is he doing that? Again, you can't counteract negative and positive. It just is what it is. Do it because it makes you feel good. Mm. And people are, simple things like that make us feel good, which is what we're losing out on. Like how you would feel doing that glass, you go back into the house and be like, oh, I feel really good about myself. Those kids aren't going to cut themselves anymore. But then we're becoming lazy. We're not doing anything, relying on everyone else. Tesco to bring the food, council to do it. Again, what's stopping you from clearing that glass?
Yeah, now here's the flip thing with that, though. Here's the interesting thing about that. I genuinely, it's kind of how I am. I drove past it. I saw it. I thought, that's not great. I'll go and do what I can to tidy it. Whereas some people would go, look at that opportunity. Go home, get their shovel, get their tripod and their camera. Go and set the camera up, sweep the glass, looking at the camera going, look at this great thing I'm doing. Put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it becomes less about the good thing that they're doing and more about getting the praise and the reward for doing the good thing.
Yeah, or it's like, look at you, council, not doing your fucking job again.
Yeah.
Tax cuts, bullshit, policing. I shouldn't be after doing this. But like, mate, it happened 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake, there's a list of shit to do. I've got to cut the bushes down.
yeah, that's just a crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, council aren't doing their job again. It happened 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
I watched him smash it.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the council.
Exactly. But that's what it's like, though, isn't it? Is, you know, some people do see those opportunities instead of being a good thing to do because it's good, a good thing to do because I will get attention and likes because I'm doing the good thing. So it becomes less about doing the good thing and it becomes more about getting the praise and feeling good for getting the praise. It's like really, it's like everything's filtered now, isn't it? And then there's those people that will go, oh well, you're just doing that just to be like that. It's like, well, yeah, I am. Yeah, but why are you doing that? It's just, oh, it's all this pressure coming from every direction.
And like putting that video of the parents talking to the teacher about it goes viral. Now you can make money. So now it becomes about me and my kids and my family and my bills based on money from this video about my kid being a little shit at school. But it's okay if I'm making money to go on holidays to Spain. I don't give a shit if he's a little shit. And that becomes about, well, the like money over education. It's like, because it comes down to survival, and education is about survival and jobs, and it's very, very complex society is now. And I don't know, we should end on, do you think that is going to get better, or is it only going to get worse? So we're speaking about this because of back then, but in 1,000 years time, will they be speaking about now? Does it always just evolve?
I think my personal feeling on this is that nature has a way of correcting itself, and we will reach a point where it's so messed up that it will correct itself. It does make you wonder if we've been here before and done this all before. The more things that people keep finding, and this significant find, and, you know, I know lots of people get into the whole thing like pyramids and all that, but I'm not going to get that down that rabbit hole. But I think, you know, have we as a species, have we been here before? Have we done this before? And I'm not getting all matrixy about it, but could we have evolved, got to such a point, wiped ourselves out, start again? Start again.
Like,
I think we're going to get to a point. I don't think it's going to be any time soon.
In our time.
But I think it will happen. We'll just evolve to a point where we'll wipe ourselves out, and it'll be that apocalypse. How weird is this though, right? It's like foreshadowing it. How many apocalypse-based TV shows and films are there? It's in computer games. It's in videos. It's TV shows. Everyone's obsessed about zombies, vampires, death and destruction. We're all just taking it in like we want it to happen. Almost like it's going to happen. You know,
so we can star in our own movie.
But it's everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere. Everything is about apocalyptic. All the most popular television shows are all about really bad situations happening to us and the world starting again. Yeah. So, who knows?
Right. Let's stop it there, and we'll speak afterwards.